We were in the, towards the end of Ayin Tes Amud Beis, page 79, we were dealing with a dispute between Rav and Shmuel. If a father married off his daughter out in the road, and that same day the daughter accepted Kiddushin on behalf of herself in the city, and the daughters wanted the Kiddushin to work, the father wanted his Kiddushin to work, and we check the daughter, we see that now she is a bogeres, now she has the hairs of an adult woman. So Rav said, well, you follow the current state, chazaka dahashta, the way it is now, we assume it has been for as long as we can assume that. So that means she was a bogeres for a little bit. So when the father married her off, she was already a bogeres, and out of his domain, she's only married to the second. And Shmuel said, no, we have to be choshesh, we have to take deeply into account and suspect that maybe the original kedushin, that done by the father, was the right one, because there's a chazaka d'meikara. She had been a nara, so maybe that continued as long as possible. So we don't know. It's a suffix when you have this conflict between chazaka d'hashta and chazaka d'meikara. And so it's a suffix kedushin. Maybe she's married to the man that her father married her to. Maybe she's married to the man that she married herself to. So the Gemara tried to prove with a whole series of proofs who's right, based on a brice in regards to finding a mikvah that's empty or finding a barrel of wine that's now vinegar and you can no longer use it for truma. And the Gemara said, well, those cases were different. There were two issues. You had a chazaka d'meikara that the items going into the mikvah were not tahor. You had a chazaka d'meikara that the food is tevel. And you have a chazaka d'hashta that now the wine is vinegar and that the mikvah is empty. It's not the same thing as over here where it's only chadal reyasa, only one issue. So now the Gemara suggests, neima kahani tanoi. Maybe this argument between Rav and Shmuel is a machlokes tanoim. We wanted to say it was a machlokes tanoim as we found in regards to a question whether or not someone was a shchiv mara. We said that's different because there you have the majorities of people being healthy. But maybe it's like this machlokes tanoim. We learned in a braisa, kid shavia baderech, if her father married her off when he was on the road. The kid Sha'atzma Be'ir, and she married herself off in the city, Varehi Bogeres, and we check her and we find that she's in fact a Bogeres. She's an adult. So Tanachada, Varehi Bogeres Lefanenu. So one Brisa says, okay, since she's a Bogeres now, she always was a Bogeres, and the father's Kedushin didn't work for her. Tanidach, another Brisa said, no. Maybe now she's a bogeres, but when the father married her off, she was still a nara, and therefore chayshin on the kedusha shneim. She needs gittin from both possible husbands. So my love, so one brisa is kirav. We follow the chazaka dahashta, the way it is now. We assume it's been for a little bit. V'chad kishmuel. The other opinion is like Shmuel that we don't assume that for sure. Maybe the way it was is the way it has been. And not just that the way it is now is the way it has been. Says the Gemara, lo, idi vidi kishmuel. Both brises agree with Shmuel that you do have to take into account the original status, the chazaka d'meikara, and think that that lasted as long as possible. One brises said that she's not married at all to the man her father wanted to marry her off to. Kambimak chashaso. That was in a case where she tells the father, you're wrong. You married me off, but I know for sure that at the time you married me off, I was already a bogeres. I went to the bathroom that hour. I saw that I had the hairs. I know I was a bogeres. Khan, the second brisa that says that she is suffic married both to the man she married herself off to and to the man her father married her off to, b'shein mak chashasa, when she is not denying what her father did. She's saying, I don't know, maybe I was a Naira at the time, maybe you could have married me, I don't know. I know that now I'm no longer a Naira, but then maybe I was a Naira, and therefore it's a marriage misafik. So 1 second, says the Gemara of Anemar, so why don't we say, Midimas Nisan lo pligi, since the two Brisos aren't arguing, Amoroi Nami lo pligi. Let's say that Rav and Shmuel don't argue. And the only time that Rav said that we don't care about the marriage that the father did because now she's a Bogeres is when she's saying, and I was a Bogeres at the time that my father did it, when she's denying what her father did. So the Gemara says, Vitizbra, do you think that the Rav and Shmuel don't argue and they're just talking about two different cases? But we know the following. Harav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Menashe Midvil, Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe from the town of Dvil, Avad Uvda Kavase de Rav. He once paskin like Rav. There was a woman who came and she said, I'm in a problem. My father married me off. I married myself off. We both did it today. And I checked myself now, and now I'm a Bogeres. He said, you know what? You're only married to the one you married to. You don't have to worry about the other guy. You can go live with him. V'ikbit Shmuel, and Shmuel was upset. He said, 1 second, how could such a rabbi think that he's so sure that she's only married to husband number two? Maybe she was really married to husband number one. He's taking a risk of Eishas Ish, of a married woman, a risk of Mamzerim. He said, Kuli Alma Kailu Lebekava Zut. Everybody else, they were given out wisdom in a small funnel. V'haimid Rabbanon, this rabbi, Kailu Lebekava Rabba, he got wisdom in a big funnel. He thinks he knows so much. He thinks he knows that he can go permit a woman who might be a married woman to be with a man. Maybe if you're going to tell me that Rav and Shmuel never even argued, that would mean that the only time he could pass him like Rav would be in a case when the woman was saying, I know for sure I was a Bogeres at the time that my father tried to marry me off. And in such a case, Shmuel also agrees to it, because there's a brisa that says that in such a case, she's only married to husband number two. So why is Shmuel upset? So Gemara says, Dilma, right? Because of my command, why is he upset? The only way he would have issued such a ruling is when she was denying what her father did and is insistent that she was okay. So why would Shmuel be protesting? Amar le Marzutra le Ravashi, Yochem Amemar. Marzutra told Ravashi, is what Amemar said. Hilchas HaKavasi de Shmuel. If such a case were to happen, halachas like Shmuel, we can't just rely on the Chazaka de Hashta. We also have to fear the Chazaka de Meikara. And Rav Ashi, Yom Hilchas HaKavasi de Rav, Rav Ashi de Halachas like Rav, we just can rely on the Chazaka de Hashta. The Hilchas HaKavasi de Rav. The halach, in fact, is like Rav.
Rav, how big is the transgression for, because the woman was really just betrothed. She wasn't.
But betrothal is marriage, too. That's a married woman, betrothal.
Even though it's not consummated.
Correct.
Yes. Correct. All right, going back to the wine thing there. When a farmer grows grapes,
yes,
he gives it trauma.
Yeah.
Okay? Then he takes his share and then he makes wine out of it.
Yeah.
So he has to give one more round of truma?
No. It was the case where they didn't give the truma from the grapes.
Oh, if it is.
That's right.
Okay, all right.
Okay, the next Mishnah continues with the topic of credibility. When do we believe that someone is okay in terms of their lineage? A man was living here, and he had a reputation of a good man. He was a kosher man, he wasn't a mamzer, and he and his wife was kosher. And they went away on a long trip. They come back 5 years later. Now he's back with a woman, and he's got two kids. He says, this woman is the same woman who I was married to when we used to live here. These are her kids. He doesn't have to bring any proof that the woman is good lineage. We trust him, that the same woman that he was married to, probably he's still married to, and that they're still ksherim. And we assume that these kids are her kids. Mesa, if he comes back and he doesn't have her anymore, just as kids, he says, my wife died, but these are her kids. We don't know. Maybe Raya Labanim has to prove that these kids are, in fact, the kids of that kosher woman, and that they're miyuchasim. Veinu maybe Raya Laisha doesn't have to bring a proof about the woman anymore, because the woman is now dead. And at the time that he was married, we assumed it was fine. Isha nasas medina sayam. Let's say he comes back and he says, this is a woman that I married over there, but I checked her out over there. She was okay. These are her kids. So maybe Raya La'isha, he has to bring a proof that she's okay. Once he proves that she's okay, he doesn't have to bring a proof that the kids are okay, because if we see that the kids are connected to her, we can assume that these are her kids, and if she's okay, then the kids are okay. But if he says, Mesa, that woman I married is dead, but these are her kids, Tzarech Lavi Raya. Then he has to bring a proof, Ala Isha V'Ala Banim. He has to prove, yeah, that she is a miuchases. So he has to prove that that woman was miuchas, the woman he married. Now he has to prove that these kids of an absent mother are in fact the kids of that mother, and not some other kids.
How did he prove it? He had to bring
witnesses, I guess. You have to bring witnesses to prove. Yes. Yeah. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabba Ravuna, when the Mishnah said that sometimes you don't have to prove anything about the kids, that's v'kulam b'kruchan achrea. That's when the kids are treating this woman as their mother. They're with her all the time. They're asking her questions. So when they're so attached to her, then you assume that they are in fact hers. And if you've proved that she's okay, the kids are okay too. Tan Rabbanu lived in a braisa. A man who says, I married a woman overseas in some island. Maybe Raya La Isha, he has to bring a proof that the woman, in fact, is Kshera. He doesn't have to bring a proof about the kids. Because once you prove that she's okay, the kids are okay. Well, maybe Raya La Gdolim. And he can bring a proof about the adult kids who are not hanging out with the woman. Doesn't have to prove about the younger kids. Obviously, if they're hanging out with her, they are with her. That's true if he's coming back and he says, this is the one woman that I married overseas. So once he proves about the woman, so the younger kids are already okay. Or if he proves about the woman and the older kids, then it's okay. But if he says, I married two women, one of them died, and this is the one who survived, and these are the kids, so maybe Raya La'ishi has to prove that that woman was okay, because we don't see her here, and we don't trust that over there that they insisted that he prove that she be miuchases. V'alabanim, and he has to prove that these kids, who they belong to. Alagdolim v'alaktanim, he has to prove both the adult kids and the younger kids, because we say even though all these kids are with this woman, maybe that's because she raised them, but maybe they really belong to the other woman. So he has to prove that that other woman was okay. He has to prove that this woman was okay. He has to prove which kids belong to which woman.
But I don't think we need a labani, because if we're going to trust the chusim of the first and the second, why should I?
Yeah, but how do you know that these kids belong to that woman? You don't have her then. Sure. Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said, Lo Shanu, when we learned that if the kids are treating a woman as a mother, we assume that she's the mother. And if she's Shera, then we know the kids are Kasher. That's El Bakachi Agvul. That's in regards to letting them eat Truma. Avol B'yuchsin, but in regards to saying that they have lineage, that they are not mamzerim or safik mamzerim, lo, that's not enough of a proof. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu B'yuchsin. Rabbi Yochanan said, even in regards to yuchsin, it is enough of a proof, and these girls can marry kohanim. As Rabbi Yochanan L'tameh, this is Rabbi Yochanan following his opinion. To Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, told him name Rabbi Yochanan, Malkan al Chazakos. Based on presumptions, based on the way people speak, you could even give lashes based on it. Soklin v'sorfin ala chazakos. We could even give stoning and burning based on a chazak. We can kill someone based on a chazaka. Vein sorfin shum ala chazakos. But in regards to burning chuma, A chazaka alone is not enough. We wouldn't burn chuma. We'd just say we don't know. We'd make the chuma wait. So what are these cases? Malkin al chazakos. We rely on presumption even to give lashes. Rabbi Yehuda, that's the lesson of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said like this. Those days, women used to wear a separate set of garments when they were a nida. So if this woman has been going around wearing the nida garments and all of her neighbors say, oh, she must be a nida. And then we see the husband being very close to her. We would give the husband lashes for violating the laws of nida. So we would stone and burn to death. Based on presumptions, that's the lesson of Rabbi Bar Avuna. Rabbi Bar Avuna, ish v'isha. If there's a man and a woman, tinok v'tinokos, and a young boy and a young girl, shigilu b'sol chabayis, that are growing up in a house, and they look like a husband and wife, child, son and daughter, and they grow up together for 10 years, we assume that they are a father, mother, son and daughter, and therefore, if we find that they're now having marital relations with each other, the boy with the girl, or the boy with the older woman, we say these are acts of incest that can be put to death. They could be stoned, one for what they did with the other, and they can be burned, what one did with the other. So if we're going to rely on a presumption to put people to death, we certainly can rely on a presumption in order to say someone is miyuchas. So if we see that the kids are with the mother, so that's already a reason to presume that these are her kids, and therefore we can say that they are miyuchasim.
Rabbi, can you clarify? How can we sofrim the sofrim al smacha chazakot? What is exactly...
If this boy... The boy that's growing up in this house has marital relations with the woman in the house, we would stone them for say that it's a son having incest with his mother. If the boy had marital relations with the young girl, we would say it's chiyuv kares. If the father of the house has relations with the girl, we'd say it's a prohibition of sreifa. We'd burn them all to death because of it. So based on presumptions, it looks in a certain way, therefore we assume a certain way, we know a certain way, enough to put them to death.
But that's regardless of witnesses, you're saying?
No, they're witnesses about the act, but about the basic facts, whether these are parents and children. Nobody proved to us that they're parents and children. We saw them living as parents and children, and they said they were parents and children, and everyone says they're parents and children, so we assume that they are parents and children. In the name of Bar Kapara, Masa, there in fact is such a story. There was a woman who came to Yerushalayim with a baby on her shoulder. And she raised him. And everybody thought that that was her son. And then that boy had intercourse with her. They brought him to Bezdin v'saklum and they stoned him. Not that anyone had ever proven to us that this was her son. We didn't know for sure it was her son. But because he is close to her, he's acting in a way that would indicate that he treated her as his mother, we assume that she was in fact his mother. And therefore it was an act of incest of a child with a mother. Vain sarfin shumalachazakos. But even though we rely on presumptions to put people to death, presumptions are not enough to burn truma. If it's only based on a presumption that we think that the truma is tamei, we're just going to wait. We're going to put the truma aside. We can't burn it. What's that case? Amar Rav Shimon Lakish sarfin lachazakos. Rav Shimon Lakish said you can even burn truma based on presumptions. Rabbi Yochanan and Sarfin. Rabbi Yochanan says you can't burn truma based on a presumption. Az l'tamai Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are following things that they've said elsewhere. The time in the Mishnah. Tinok shenimtza b'tzada isa. If a child is found next to dough, Ubatzek biyada, when there's dough in his hand. So we assume he took the dough from this. There's a strong presumption here that he took the dough, this dough in his hand, from this mixture of dough. Rabbi Meir says, even so, mitahir, the dough is tahor. Chacham said the dough is all tame. Why? It's normal for children to be playing around with dead rodents. So children are usually tame. So since children are usually tame, and we see here that it's very, very likely that this child took from the dough is tame. Avinaban, we ask, my time of the Rabbi Meir, what's the logic of Rabbi Meir that says that the dough is tahar? So he says like this, you're right, most children do play with dead rodents. But there is a minority of kids that don't get their hands into the dead rodents. Isa becheskas taharo medis, the dough was, had a chazaka de meikara, had an original status of being tahar. So you can assume that it stayed tahar as long as possible. So smoke miyutul chazaka, the minority of kids who don't become tamei is a significant reality. Put that together with the fact that this was tahar, israel ruba, that breaks the majority that says that the kids did become tamei and made this tamei. And Rabbanan disagree. Rabbanan never a choshesh l'miyuta. They never care about minorities. So they say miyuta, the minority of kids who don't touch the rodents and command the lessons as if they don't exist. So basically you have the fact that the child touched a rodent. That, so that's a rope. Against that you have a chazaka de meikara. Against it you have the fact that the dough was originally tar. Okay, but against the fact that the dough was originally tar, you know that the kid touched the dough because he's holding the dough. And you know the kids are tame. So Ruba Adif, the Rove, is stronger. And Amar Rish Lakish said, Mishum Ravosha, the name Ravosha, Zoe Shasarfin Aless at Shuma. I agree with this psak. In this case, we would burn Truma. So here you're burning Truma based on a presumption. Presumption that the kid took the dough, and a presumption that the kid is in fact tame. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, no. That would not be a case. We would burn the chuma. We wouldn't burn the chuma in such a case. And all the Rabbanan are saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is not to burn it, but just to leave it. So the Gemara asks, where according to Rabbi Yochanan would we see that based on a chazaka, we would burn Truma? Could it not be the following Mishnah? If there's a dough in a house, and you have both Tamei rodents, Shratzim, and Sfardim, non-Tamei rodents, jumping around there. And you find pieces in the dough. Imrov Shratzim, if the majority is the Tamei rodents, Tmeya, the dough is Tamei. Imrov Tzvardim, if the majority is Tzvardim, the kosher rodents, it is Tahar. So here Rabbi Yochanan says, if the majority is Tameh, we assume that the Tameh ones were the ones that are in the dough, and then you burn it. Tanya Kavasa de Rabbi Yochanan, we learned in a braisa like Rabbi Yochanan. Shnei Dvar Mein Ben Das Lishael. There are two scenarios where we can't really ask what happened. Some chacham, yet the chacham treat them kimashi yesh bem das lishal, like scenarios of safek, of doubt, where we could ask to try to determine what's that tinok. One is this question of a child, and so in such a case we would say that it doesn't get burned, it's not tamei v'odacheres. And there's another one, tinok adamar odacheres. What's that other one? Ma'i, it's the following case where, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we would not burn it yet. That's the following. Isa b'sol chabayis, if there's a dough in a house, v'tarna golem, and there are chickens, u'mashkim tmeim sham, and there are tame liquids there. V'nim tzu nekurim, now we look at the dough has been pecked. Ah, nekurim, nekurim b'isa. So now tolin, now it's a safek, we don't know, because maybe the chicken took some of the liquids that are tamei, and then when he pecked into the dough, he dropped some of those tamei drops into the dough, and now the dough is tamei. Or maybe, no, he pecked from the dough, and he didn't have liquid in his mouth. And therefore the dough is tar. So we don't know. So we can't burn it because we don't know. So we just let it wait. We don't eat it because maybe it's tummy, but we can't burn it because we're not sure it's tummy. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Lo shanu ela b'mashkim levanim. This is true if the liquids were white. Avo mashkim adumim, but if the liquids were red, emisa de nakir, if it would be true that he had been pecked, the chicken had been pecking from the dough, made the idea, we would surely see it, because we would see that there would be red streaks in the dough. So Gemara says, maybe not. The dough will be last new Isa. Maybe the dough swallowed up the red liquid. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Davar Zeh. This that we said, there's a difference between white liquids and red liquids. Shama b'Rebbe. Yeshua ben Levi heard it from his teacher. Upirusha lo shama. And he didn't hear the explanation of it. What's the explanation? Lo shanu. We can see the pecking. The dough is tame with red, with a colored liquid. Elabim ashkim tzlulim. If it's a clear liquid that you could see the reflection of a child in it, then we say that maybe it got absorbed in the dough. But if it's a dark liquid that you couldn't see the reflection of a child in it, lo, then we wouldn't say that the liquid got absorbed into the dough, because if the chicken would have been pecking from the dough with this liquid in him, certainly we would have seen it in the dough. What's that? Sex faker, which is what? So it's really not a sfex faker, because we're sure that the chicken pecked from the dough, because we see the holes in the dough. So that's already been determined for us. So that's not a suffix. Okay, next Mishnah begins a new topic, very, very important topic in halacha. This is the prohibition of yichud, that a man is not allowed to be secluded with a woman who is prohibited to him without other people there. And not only that, he can't even be with a single woman alone in a room. Not only can't a man be with one woman, he can't even be with two women. Lo yistiachid adam im shtei nashim. A man should not be alone with two women. He's not allowed to. Avalisha achas, but one woman, misyachedes im shnei anashim. She can be alone with two men. Rabbi Shimon says, af ish echad, misyached im shnei nashim. One man can be alone with two women. Bizman she ishto imo. That's true if his wife is with him. He can even sleep with others in an inn. Because his wife is watching him to make sure that nothing happens between him and the other women. A man is allowed to seclude himself alone with his mother, and with his daughter. He can even sleep with his daughter in the same bed, and they're all not fully dressed. V'migdilu, but if his daughter has gotten older, zu yishena b'ksusa, she can sleep only in her garments. V'zen, the father, yashin b'ksusa, has to sleep in his garment.
What age, 6, 9?
I guess so. 9, probably. Says the Gemara, my taima. What's the reason why one man can't be secluded alone with two women? Tana Devel Yoel Yoel Navi taught Hoel Venashem Datan Kalos Aleihen, because women are more lightheaded or more easily swayed, and therefore maybe he will succeed in seducing both women, so one won't protect the other. Minan Emili, how do we know this? Rabbi Yochanan explained, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, the name Rabbi Shmuel. Remez liyichud ben haTorah minayin, what's the hint to this prohibition of seclusion with women from the Torah? Shenamer, because the verse says, ki yisitcha achicha ben imecha, lest your brother, the son of your mother, seduce you. V'chi ben eim mesis, is only the son of the same mother might convince somebody to do avodah zarah. Ben avinu mesis, if they are children of the same father, you won't have the rules of mesis. No. With the same father, also you'd have the rules of mesis. But why did it mention the son of mother? Lo melacha to tell you, ben misyachinim imo. A son is likely to be with his mother. He can be alone with her. V'asu misyachinim kol harayah shebetorah. With mother he can be alone, but he can't be alone with any of the prohibited relations in the Torah. Pasha dekrab b'mayk siv. Okay, that's a drasha, but what's the literal meaning of the pasuk? Why does it talk about the son of mother? Abai explained, Lomi boya kamar. It doesn't even need to tell you, son of father. Lomi boya ben av. Certainly, if there are two sons of father, this boy is also the son of the same father as you. So, the son, he's going to hate you because he knows you're taking away some of his inheritance. Va'itzle etzosros is going to give you bad advice. Don't listen to him. Don't worship idols the way he tells you to. Elafilu ben aim. The verse is saying, even the son of a mother, delo sonili. There's no competition between sons of the same mother because they're not going to be competing for inheritance because you inherit your father, not your mother. Same at Saitile. So maybe I should listen to him when he tells me to go worship idols. Kamash, that's what the verse says. Don't listen to him. Says the Gemara, Neimar Masnisin, presumably this Mishnah, is delo ka Abba Shol. It's not like Abba Shol, who seems to say that a man can't seclude himself with two women. Titanim lived in a brisa. If a baby dies within 30 days of his birth, he's not even taken out on a stretcher, he's just carried out on the arms, and he's buried in a small group, one woman, and two men, but not one man with two women and this dead little baby, because maybe they'll have znus. So you see that Abba Shaul says that one man with two women, we're not worried about znus. So that's against our mission that says that one man can't be alone with two women because maybe there'll be znus. And so the Gemara, if you would tame Abba Shaul, it could even be according to Abba Shaul. B'shas aninus, here we're talking about where they're all sad, they just lost a baby. Tavir Yitzrei, then the Eight Sahara is broken. And Rabbanan Savi looked to Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rabbanan agreed with Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak said, the verse says, that means it's as follows. Even when a person is an onin, Yitzro Misgabriel, if he still has a big Yetzer Hara. Abba Shaul said that verse means something else. That verse is Misraim al Midos of Ksiv. It's about a person complaining about his portion in life. This is what the verse is saying. Why should somebody complain about what's going on in his life? Has he overcome all of his sins? We all have sins. We deserve to have some difficulties. Be satisfied with the very fact that God made you alive. That alone is a reason to be thankful and not to be complaining. Rabban will tell you, they'll tell you that even if the Yetzirah is broken when a person is sad and he's an onin, nevertheless, you shouldn't have a rule that a little baby who passes away can be taken out to be buried by a man and two women, because then there might be people who will impersonate that. It wasn't a baby that passed away even. They'll pretend that it's a baby passing away. They'll have a bundle of rags. They were carrying a baby. We're all sad. And meanwhile, it's just the plot to get alone into a secluded area and to be mezana with two women. Therefore, there should never be such a practice.